Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and our 11 o'clock hour. The Woodstock Film Festival is presenting a special book banning and freedom of expression event featuring a screening of The Librarians, a powerful new film by acclaimed director Kim A. Snyder at Upstate Films Orpheum Theater on August 8th in Saugerties. The screening will be followed by a post-screening conversation with the filmmaker. The Librarians made its world premiere at Sundance and continued on to the South by Southwest and Full Frame Documentary Film Festival. As an unprecedented wave of book banning is sparked in Texas, Florida, and beyond, Librarians Under Siege join forces as unlikely defenders fighting for intellectual freedom on the front lines of democracy, flanked by concerned community members and, yes, young readers. The film is told through the personal experiences of librarians under siege and the everyday patriots who join their ranks in defense of the books themselves. Kim A. Snyder is an Academy Award nominee and Peabody Award-winning director and producer of The Librarians that premiered at this year's Sundance Festival, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kim Snyder to the program. Hello, Kim. How are you?
Fine. Thank you so much for having me.
It's very nice to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being here. What brought you to this subject of wanting to explore it in such a thorough way?
Well, the journey began almost 4 years ago, and I learned about this in Texas. This something you learn at the beginning of the film, something called the Krauss List that became known as the Krauss List, where a state representative issued a list of 850 books that school libraries should review their and take out of their school libraries. And I learned about a group of several Texan librarians who called themselves the Freedom Fighters, with a F-R-E-A-D, who were fighting back, in a sense, and organizing. And they started to hear from librarians not only in Texas but across the country who were experiencing all kinds of issues of censorship and were being put in a kind of Sophie's choice in libraries across the land to either uphold their training as upholders of First Amendment rights or to comply. So that set me off, and here we are almost 4 years later and excited to bring the film to Saugerties.
One of the things that I remember, I obviously am very interested in the story and I've been following it for so long, but one of the things that I was fascinated by was an article, I think it was about a year and a half ago, in which the Washington Post talked about how few people are actually involved in this threat to books and to libraries of actually making the request that books be removed, and then it sort of takes on a life of its own. But the actual requests come from a very small group of people who become very, very vocal. Did you find that as well?
Absolutely. I think part of what we want people to take away and is the fact that there has always been a protocol and a process by which books can be challenged and where there can be measured conversations with trained librarians around which books belong on which grade level library shelf. That's always been in place. There's been a process for it. And the most recent wave of unprecedented book banning and what these librarians have exposed and are experiencing is a brazen breaking of that protocol and a breach of constitutional rights. And so what you're talking about, you're absolutely right, is that when you hear this phrase that's often used of parental rights, there have always been parental rights around this. And the folks that we often highlight will say, well, yeah, we also have the parental rights to not have a minority voice dictate what my kids have access to or can read. So it is generally in these communities, and what you'll see in the film is a minority. Sometimes it's one, in the case of Clay County, Florida, one person who can dictate what a whole district of kids can no longer read. So, yeah, the whole idea of parental rights, there's a whole vast array of parents whose parental rights are being stripped because a very minority group want to take away access to books that they may want their children to have access to.
One of the things that that I also find fascinating about this whole subject is I have in my left hand right now, Kim, my cell phone. And I just can't get over the fact that as you ban books and you ban books and you ban books, that if I am a kid or if I am an adult or if I am whoever and I'm trying to get access to a book, even free, I am able to get it on this device that I hold in my hand. I'm wondering about the overall technology gap that's coming, especially when we talk about even AI, of what's going to happen with these type of efforts as we move into the future.
Sure. Well, there's two things. One is that it's really not just about the technology, in that these school libraries in rural spaces across America are community hubs. And a lot of those kids, you know, one of our librarians will talk about during COVID how there were just dozens of kids in the cold on the steps of the library who didn't have access to internet, who still wanted to be able to. So, you know, not every kid can just have that kind of online access. But I think there's also that we're looking at it, when you see the film, it's really not just about that. It's a much larger marker of control of information. And it's you know, in some ways there's specificity, but it's also symbolic of what is happening when you try to control information in school libraries. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, those school librarians that we started to highlight said, you know, the scary thing is you're going to see more and more of this in public libraries, and that's even more frightening. And that is, in fact, what's happened. So Suzette Baker, who's in Llano, Texas, is a character in our film who is fired in her public library for refusing to take several books off the shelf that are race, the history of the KKK, you know, books that are about Black history. She refuses and she's fired. So it's about much more than litigating certain books in schools. And there's been so much organized effort around misinformation of, you know, people starting to believe that there's porn in the second grade. And every single librarian, you know, I've spoken to will say that there just is no porn or obscenity. It has to do also with how the words are being misused, that those words of obscenity and pornography are being used sometimes to talk about a children's book that may have two, you know, in the case of a book called And Tango Makes Three, you know, you're talking about penguins that have a foster penguin kid, offspring. You know, clearly not by anyone's definition obscenity or pornography. So that's another kind of entire misinformation that's being very organized in an organized way being put out there.
The name of the film is The Librarians, and it will be shown as part of a Woodstock Film Festival event on August 8th at the Upstate Films Orpheum Theater in Saugerties. I am also interested in just this idea of Yes, there's the pornography angle to this, but there's also this, you're trying to indoctrinate our children to make this their way of life, and you're going to change them, and you are going to put them into a perverse lifestyle that they would not otherwise have looked at had you not provided them this reading material.
Right. I mean, what I always say, Joe, is that it's another buzzword that's being thrown around as this word indoctrination. And I always say it's about representation. You've got, you know, in a given library, one of our librarians will say, we have 20,000 books, and our job is every year to curate and make sure we have a dynamic and growing library that represents the changing times and the constituents and the people in our community. In that case, she will point out that maybe less than 2% of those 20,000 books have LGBTQ characters, for example. So this is, and no kid is, if you don't want your kid to read a certain book, you monitor your kid and you say, I don't want you to have that book. But to say that no kid, particularly marginalized kids, who that's another part of our film, is really how touching I find it to be that these librarians are so committed to the lives of kids and the emotional well-being of kids. And they will tell you that these books save lives, and that when you take these books off the shelf, it is not lost on them that they are saying, we don't want you on the shelf. And so, you know, no one is saying, you know, you have to, you know, then don't check the book out. But there should be books that are there that represent all parts of the community. So that really is part of the, I think, also the spin on it is the representation piece.
So as you were doing your film, and as you say, this has been a four-year journey for you, I can't help but think that I look, of course, we're a public radio station, and we've been looking at what has happened over the last week in the pulling of our funding because of what we do is seen as biased because there is a certain level of truth-telling in the reporting that we do. Also, look at Monday's New York Times, and there is an article there about how the administration is working very hard within the National Park Service to remove and is asking people to identify any signage, any historical fact, any information that is provided by the National Park Service that talks about things that are uncomfortable or are anti-American. And these, of course, have to do with race. These have to do with climate change. So in that climate, I mean, because this fits right in, right? I mean, this is where mm-hmm. we're at of this cleansing of any belief. And it seems to me, and God love the librarians. My mother was a librarian. I was a page at a library. I worked at a library. I love libraries. I'm on my library board now. I care very much about these issues, but it's also becoming part of a much larger issue, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's why the film, we've been touring the country, and it is, I guess it's, you know, I'm not as surprised after a whole number of screenings. It's hitting a nerve. People are showing up, and I think people want to have conversations again in a town hall-like space. We are going to be opening the film theatrically in the fall, starting in New York. And our idea is to take this film, we have a really robust impact campaign, and to reach more of the middle in having conversations around this, because it's true. It's part of a larger, you know, a conversation that we know has been brewing for quite some time. We are thrilled to be partnering with PBS's Independent Lens, and we'll be broadcasting in January. And we're all on the same page that this is an issue that people want to talk about, and we want to do it in a space that's nonpartisan. because it's, you know, we have in the beginning of the film, we have one of our librarians saying that politicians are playing a dangerous game when they try to make school libraries the battlegrounds for their political agendas. So we're actually trying to take politics out of this, you know, that this is about kids, about our First Amendment rights, and about these everyday heroes. I think the people in our film are patriots who are standing up to bullies in small towns and giving us a sense, as much as the film has a dystopian element to it, it also has a lot of hope, because we see regular folks in small town America who take back their agency. And I think a lot of people are feeling a lack of agency right now, you know, a lack of what can I do, with frustration around the kinds of things that you just brought up. So it's a subject that bleeds into so many other subjects, whether it be higher education or what you were just talking about with the National Park Service. You kind of can't separate all of these subjects right now. And I think that there's a symbolism in these librarians. And we're finding that with the film, we really are truly growing a movement with them as the unexpected, you know, it makes me think of the healthcare workers in COVID. They really are these heroic people who passionately believe in adhering to the Constitution, and they take a lot of risks in doing that.
And they're being put on the front lines, and standing up. I mean, one of the things the film it seems to really show is that there can be success, right? That there are strategies to fight this, and it probably always will be a fight, but there are successes.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not like that this issue is new, but it is manifesting in entirely unprecedented scope and in new ways. As I said, it's this brazen just breaking of all protocol that and legal precedent that has ever, but we're seeing that in so many arenas right now. So, the idea is to also, what we're finding when we show the film is, I'm so glad to hear you're on your library board, but to encourage people to become more hyper-local in their civic engagement as Americans, and to think, you know, I've heard people come out of screenings and say, well, maybe I should look into being on the board of my library. Maybe I should run for school board. Maybe I should show up and vote at my school board meeting, even if I don't have school-age kids, because it really matters. So that's the kind of thing that we're encouraging, you know, not to perpetuate a kind of us and them partisan fight, but to really have people. I just meet so many people across the board who feel passionately about censorship. You know, it's just not lost on most Americans that most people don't want to be told what to read and what their kids should read.
The Woodstock Film Festival presenting a special screening of The Librarians, followed by a post-screening conversation with the filmmaker, Kim Snyder, who joined us this morning at Upstate Films Orpheum Theater on August 8th in Saugerties, New York. You can find out more by going to woodstockfilmfestival.org, woodstockfilmfestival.org. Kim Snyder, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program. Have a beautiful event and good luck with the further release of the film.
Thanks. And if anyone wants to know more, they can go to thelibrariansfilm.com and follow our impact campaign. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Thelibrariansfilm.com. Kim, thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAM's